We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Friday, March 3rd. And you know what we do on Fridays? We fight with each other. Okay, maybe with some, maybe not with each other, but we fight. We fight a bunch. It's Fighting Fridays. Talking about the MMA card, the UFC pay-per-view, UFC, whatever the hell number it is. I don't know why. Why do they continue with numbers? Do you have 285, two something, whatever? I don't. What does it matter? It's a pay-per-view card coming up tomorrow featuring two title fights, 14 fights on the card. So it's a big, big card. And we got the heavyweight championship of the world, the vacant heavyweight championship, because the UFC does not want to pay Francis Ngannou, so they stripped him. So you'll have John Jones returning to the octagon after 3 years. Against Cyril Gane, as well as Valentina Shevchenko, defending her 125 title against Alexa Grasso. And we'll be talking about that, the context of the slate, some strategy. If you want to get a breakdown of the fights, listen to Liam and Mike, okay? They do the Ground and Pound podcast. That's a premium podcast. They also do the expert survey. Liam goes does the breakdowns and picks for the fights and everything. So sign up with the Roto Grinders Premium. Get the combo premium. Get NBA. Get MLB. Get PGA. Get college basketball. Get all the projections. Soccer. Soccer's tomorrow also, right? EPL. We got EPL tomorrow as well. Go pick that up. Click on the link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. You'll get Lineup HQ. You'll get all the projections. You'll get everything. So do that. Listen to the breakdown of the fights. Because I focus more on the DFS strategy of the slate and less so on necessarily the stylistic matchups of these fights. But before we go over that, give me those thummy thumbs. It helps us out. This is free content. This is like our only free MMA content. So hit that thumbs up button. Hit the like button. Hit the notification bell. Smash the like button. You got to smash it. That's what I see YouTubers say. You got to smash it. Smash the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Pump it up. That's right. Pump up. Pump up the thumbs. Pump it up. Pump it up. Whatever that song is, right? Isn't that an old song? Pump it up. Something. It's something like that. It's some dance song, right? We got Wata Suki Singh is here. Of course, the early birds. Andrew Garcia, Chris Jones, Defic. George St. Pierre is not on the card, Chris Jones. No, he's the GOAT, but he's not on this card. But who is on this card? Okay. When we're breaking down a DFS, the DFS strategy for an MMA slate, that we have to understand the context. Before you start building lineups, if you're going to go through lineup construction, understand the likelihood of what the nut lineup is going to look like. Because obviously, with a limited amount of options, especially in large field GPP, we're looking for the nut lineup, the best possible lineup for the slate. The six winners, most likely, the six fighters that combined together is the highest possible score. And the smaller field stuff, you may not need the nut lineup to win, but you're pretty much aiming for it. So we got 14 fights on the card. The two main things when it comes to the context of a card, as far as lineup construction is concerned, for the nut lineup, is the size of the card and then the disparity between the fighters, okay? I'm giving you the two thumbs, so hit the thumbs up button as I do that, okay? So on a large card compared to a small card. So we have a 14-fight card. Now compare that to a 10 or 11-fight card. Now in a 14-fight card, there's more opportunity, more fighters to choose from, which means more likelihood that the highest scoring fighters, I know this sounds weird to say, more likely that the higher scoring fighters make the nut lineup. And it's like, well, obviously the highest scoring fighters make the nut lineup. It's like, yeah, the higher ceiling fighters. Okay. So like if you're on like a 10 fight card, well, you need six. We pretty much need six winners. So it's quite possible that a guy that gets 86 points for 8,200 makes the nut lineup, right? On a 10-fight card, because there aren't that many fighters to choose from. Now there's four more fights. Now there's eight more fighters. It's more and more likely that you should be aiming for 100 points in your wins, right? Playing a 10-fight card, getting six winners is good. If you can just get six winners, you're going to be close to the nut lineup. On a 14-fight card, six winners alone, if you get six fighters that all score 85, you may not be, you probably won't be good when a bunch of them score 100 as well. Okay, so on a larger card, you're going to prioritize ceiling more than win probability. Okay, so even though there may be some underdogs that, you know, we'll get into the disparity, there's some underdogs that don't have the best win probability but have better ceiling outcomes. And the same thing for some of the favorite fighters, where, you know, getting an 8K fighter in the mid-range that scores like 78 points, that's not going to be very useful to you, right? Looking for the nut lineup. On a smaller card, maybe that works. On a larger card, it's less likely to work. And then you have to look at the disparity of fighters, because DraftKings will price the fighters based on their money lines pretty linearly from slate to slate. Right, you have the 9K fighters are the biggest favorites. The mid 8Ks are like the mid, like 2-1s, 1.5-1s, and then towards the middle is like the pick'ems. But they'll price it like that no matter what the money line odds are. We have slates where the highest priced fighter is still only a -220 favorite. That's the biggest favorite on the slate, a 2-1 favorite, 3-1 favorite. There are also slates where the 9K fighters are like 5-1 favorites, 6-1 favorites. When we get there are mid-range fighters that are still 3-1 favorites. Big disparities between the favorites and the underdogs. Now, in the context of a slate where the fighters are big disparities between the fighters, well, that means it's less likely that underdogs win, right? Less underdogs are likely to win. I'm not saying, hey, on this slate, eight underdogs could win. Right, but it's less likely. Okay, so as the disparity of the fighters gets wider and wider, the more and more likely that the winning lineup, the nut lineup, is going to spend most, if not all, of the salary. You're going to get 9K fighters that put up 120 plus points. You're going to find the one dog that may put up 100, and that's it. There you go. You may only have one or two underdogs that win on the entire slate. So just getting an underdog winner and the highest scoring, you know, four favorites, that's what the nut lineup is more likely to look like on a slate where the disparity between fighters is large. The disparity between fighters is small. If we're like the highest priced fighter is only a 2-1 favorite, right? And you have like six mid-range fights that are nearly pick 'em. Well, it's quite possible. Then underdogs are more likely than underdogs win. Right, you may get four or five underdogs winning, and some of them maybe even putting up more than 100 points. So in a slate like that, where the disparity of fighters is smaller, the nut lineup is more and more likely to leave money on the table. Now, it's still more likely that it spends most of the money, but on a slate where the fights are quite even, a 48K lineup, a 48.5 lineup, has a decent amount of first place equity. On a slate like tomorrow, where we take a look at my odd sheet right here, I mean, let's take a look at these odds. I mean, Bo Nickel at 9,600 is minus 1,700. Now, these are the odds from 2 days ago, and I know some of them have moved a little bit. Bo Nickel, minus 1,700. Valentina Shevchenko, minus 750. Ian Garry, minus 700. Rachmanov, minus 500. Basharat, minus 460. Then we have like Loic Radzibov. We have Radzibov, Ricci, Simon. Those are all like 3-1 favorites. Duplessis and Gamrot are 2-1 favorites. Like, until you get to like Garbrandt in the $8,500 range, you don't get to like a 63% win percentage. I mean, look, 8,600 and above is kind of like 70% win percentage and above, right? 70 to 94% win probability. And this is disregarding even the ITD lines. Like, it's so much more likely that not many underdogs on this slate will win. And with the disparity between the fights, a 7-1 favorite is more likely to destroy the underdog, right? So we're going to probably see Bo Nickel minus 510 inside the distance. Shevchenko minus 135 inside the distance. Ian Garry minus 175 inside the distance. Rachmanov minus 160 inside the distance. Duplessis minus 110. Simon plus 145. Radzibov plus 140. Basharat plus 180. Right, and we also have a lot of guys on this fighters on this card that are grappling oriented, so that just increases the ceiling of some of these fights. So, I mean, if you're looking, I'm going to make a lineup at least $1,500 on the table. Like, good luck to you. Good luck. That's going to be a very low probability. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's much more likely that some of these 9K fighters smash. And just having the right combination of the right fighters with the one dog that does well, or two dogs that win, and in these types of slates, even the underdogs, like I prioritize winning. So like either you're prioritizing ceiling or winning, right? If you're prioritizing one of the two, I think you're fine. In the middle, maybe not so much. So this is the context of a slate. Like, this is before we even look at the fights and what the ownership is and everything like that. Just we have a lot of 9K guys. I mean, even down to like Cameron Simon is 8,800 and over a 3-1 favorite. Duplessis, I mean, we have slates where Duplessis minus 230 money line, minus 110 inside the distance, he would be like the $9,400 fighter. Right, it would be like that, but on this slate, no. This slate, he's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, it's like he's the seventh or eighth biggest favorite, instead of being like the first or second biggest favorite. So how does that affect lineup construction? Well, I mean, you have Bo Nickel, who is a ridiculous favorite. Like if you're going to build for cash games, I think some people may try to double stack the two main events. The two title fights, and then it's going to get very easy, right? If you do something like that, Gon, Jones, right? I think there'll be people that have this lineup. This is for cash games. You would never do this in GPPs. Nickel, Shevchenko, right? Nick Shevchenko, Grasso, Gon, Jones, and then you have Nickel and Araujo, Viviane Araujo in the Rebos Araujo fight, the $8,300-$7,900 fight. Just understand, obviously, that you pretty much need, I mean, Nickel, I can't see Nickel losing. Just a matter of how many points he scores. And then Araujo winning. And then you're pretty much fine. Shevchenko Grasso, I mean, that's more likely to go like 3, 4, 5 rounds. Even the Gon Jones, like these two title fights are actually favored to go the distance, which is good for I mean, point scoring, but I think there are a lot of high priced fighters on the slate that could totally could destroy. So, like, this is from a cash perspective. I think a lot of people are going to build, like, if they build with the main event in mind, if they're going to double the main event, right? They're going to play like Shevchenko and Cyril Gane or something like that, or Shevchenko and Jones. Like, these Shevchenko-Jones lineups are very hard to really get Bo Nickel in, unless you play one of the big underdogs. You play, like, Jeff Neal or Esteban Ribovics or something like that. Like, if you did that, right, you still, the average remaining player salary is $7,700. Like, if you try to get Bo Nickel in these types of lineups, I mean, you're going to have to pretty go down to, like, Derek Brunson and then Arujo or something like that. Like, in order to get, like, Shevchenko and Nickel together and Jones or Gane or something, those are the only two non-K fighters you're playing. I mean, you're not going to be able to do anything else. And I'm not sure how many underdogs win on this slate. So these Nickel Shevchenko lineups, to me, I mean, it's really hard. It's going to be hard to get different with Nickel Shevchenko because, I mean, your average, unless you're going for, like, you know, Song Kanaan beats Ian Garry or something, you know, one of the really big underdogs. I mean, I guess it's doable, but that's kind of what you'd need to do. And then I think the Jones, see, the thing about these two championship fights is that based on the context of the slate, here's a hot take. It's not really a hot take because it has nothing to do with, like, the fights. But if we look back at all the slates, okay, just to give you the, I don't like being, like, trend oriented, but if you look back at all of the UFC DFS slates for on DraftKings that have 2 5-round fights, okay, and then what makes the nut lineup? More often than not, more than 50% of the time, it's one of the main. Not two, but one. Then the second most likely is two. Then the third most likely is zero. Okay, so there's been a whole ton. There's been, let's just say, there's 15. I mean, I've looked at it. Like 15 cards with 2 5-round fights. Like 10 of those, like 10, 9, probably like 9 of those 15, one main event, 1 5-round fighter was in the nut lineup. And then, like, 5 were 2 main event fighters or 5-round fighters in the nut lineup, and one was neither. Maybe it's a hot take, but I think this is one of the slates where neither make the nut lineup. Now, if you're playing small field GPP, like, okay, you don't necessarily need to make the nut lineup. But if you just take a look at the style of fights and the pricing. So the easy one is Shevchenko, okay? Shevchenko wins with a 3rd-round submission. And Grasso keeps its first and second round on the feet decently enough. Shevchenko scores like 88 points, 85 points. At 9,400, that ain't gonna be optimal, right? Now Shevchenko could go out and dominate Grasso and wrestle her to the ground for 4 minutes of control for 4 rounds, or all 5 rounds and put up 130 points, 140 points. Yeah, that's possible also. But if this stays on its feet, the fight stays on its feet enough, and Shevchenko even gets a finish in the second or third round, I'm not even sure that he pays off 9,400. Now, obviously, if Grasso wins at 6,800, I mean, probably going to be optimal, right? At 6,800, what win? Oh, a 70-point decision win may be fine. Not sure there would be a 70-point decision win. But Shevchenko, there are many paths for Shevchenko to not be optimal. Still, there are paths for Valentina to put up 105, 110 points and not be optimal, right? She puts up 110, but like Basharat puts up 115 and Nickel puts up 140. Rachmanov could put up 110 for cheaper. Ian Garry could knock Keenan Song out. A quick win bonus, 125. Duplessis could—that's a quick win. There's a quick win bonus. Cameron Simon could wrestle Manny Martinez to the ground for 3 rounds and put up 120 points. Like it's not a matter of does Shevchenko do well. It's just that there's a lot of Gamrot could have 10 takedowns against Jalen Turner. Who knows? Tabula Ricci Penny fight. That's probably going to be a grappling fight also. I'm not sure if they, either of them gets a finish. But there's just a lot of fighters. Look how many fighters are wrestlers on the slate. Nickel, obviously. One of, if not the best collegiate wrestler ever. Rachmanov, he's a grappler. Basharat, grappler. Radzibov, grappler. Ricci, grappler. Simon's kind of in the middle. He's just aggressive. Duplessis isn't. But he can, I guess. I mean, it probably, if the fight's on the ground, probably Derek Brunson is winning the fight. Gamrot's a grappler. Cody Garbrandt should wrestle against Trevin Jones. If he has no chin. He better wrestle. John Jones better wrestle. But who knows? Who knows what John Jones does? Rebus Aruo are both. I mean, these are all like, even like Barrio and Marquez. There may be some grappling there. Maybe not as much as some other fights, but I don't think that's completely a stand-up affair. I think the only like pure striking matchup is like Ian Garry. Garry, Keenan Song, but I mean, that could end up on the mat also. So there's a lot of opportunity for fighters to score a lot of points. And if Valentina Shevchenko is going to be 40%+ owned, like, okay, she puts up 100 points. That may not be good enough. I mean, it may be good enough to win your small field GP. Yeah, okay. You got 100 points. I'm not saying that's bad. But if you're playing large field GPP, I mean, that may not be optimal. And then we have the John Jones-Cyril Gane fight. Now, the thing about the John Jones-Cyril Gane fight is that it's cheaper. It's $8,400, $7,800. The problem here is that I don't know what the ceilings are on these fighters. If you told me that John Jones was going to come out and wrestle effectively, then I think John Jones is the favorite. And I'd much rather play John Jones, but I'm not sure. I mean, that's what he should do, right? But I mean, even three years, the fights that John Jones had 3 years ago weren't particularly impressive. And now he's moving up a weight class? And it's not like he's facing a bum. Cyril Gane's a great fighter. But of course, like if on the feet, like John Jones, I don't think John Jones knocks Cyril Gane out. I think John Jones is much better off trying to take him down because we've seen that Cyril Gane is not necessarily the best on the bottom. So this fight, it's favored to go to the distance. It's favored to go to decision. How many points do these fighters score even in a decision? Like if Cyril Gane, if it's a stand-up fight with no knockdowns, what? How many significant strikes is Gane going to have? Maybe he scores 80, right? 7,800, that isn't horrible for 80, right? Because not many underdogs are probably going to win on this card. What's John Jones going to score in a decision win? What, about the same? Maybe a little bit more because he tries to wrestle more. So like, I see the ceiling of the Jones-Gane fight to be much lower. The only benefit is that it's also cheaper. It's $8,400, $7,800. But I also think it's going to be very popular. I think, you know, 60-65% of total ownership is going to be on this fight. I think Jones is going to be more popular than Gane from an ownership perspective.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think because of those two reasons that it's quite easy to see John Jones. What happens if John Jones does wrestle him and submit Ciryl Gane in the third round? Okay, great. He scored 83 points or something like that. At 8,400, like, dude, Julian Marquez could knock out Marc-Andre Barrio in the first round. I mean, like, Viriana Araujo could have a three-round decision with five takedowns and a bunch of control time and end up outscoring both of them and have 95 points, right? You have Garbrandt, Gamrot, Duplessis, Simon. You got all these other guys. Jalen Turner could knock Gamrot out. Brunson could wrestle Duplessis for three rounds. Mano Martinez, Simon is kind of a bit reckless. Mano Martinez could just, Simon comes in over-aggressive, and then Mano Martinez knocks him out in the first round. Jessica Penne ties up a submission against Ricci. I mean, there's just so many fighters on the slate. Trevin Jones, just Cody Garbrandt, no chin. Garbrandt comes in, Trevin Jones, one punch, one hitter quitter, which I don't know, I'm not sure if he has that much power, but I mean, whatever. He's better, he only throws like two strikes a minute. Garbrandt gets knocked out. It just seems that there's just so many fighters around here that unless there's an early finish in the Gane Jones fight, or there's a lot of action, especially if Jones like wrestles, it's hard to see that it's worth the ownership. All these other fights are so much lower owned than the main event. And I think the Shevchenko-Grasso fight is more, it's not a matter of can Grasso win? I guess so. I mean, I thought Talia Santos beat Shevchenko. I mean, it was close enough, but I think Talia Santos deserved against Shevchenko in the last fight. But I don't think Grasso beat Shevchenko. I did just like you have to be an elite striker. I mean, and once Grasso goes to the ground, she's pretty much dead. So to me, it's not a matter of does Valentina win. It's a matter of how many points does she score. I mean, the same thing with Bo Nickel. Right? Bo Nickel is going to come down to does he get the quick wing bonus or not? Right? Because, I mean, the under like 1.5 in this is like minus 300 or something. But he's 9,600. So, like, dude, if he takes him down twice and submits him and scores 107 points, like, that ain't good for 9,600 for the nut lineup. So even Nickel may be over. I don't know how. He may not be over-owned because he's just so expensive that it's going to be hard for you to fit in. People are going to want to play Nickel Shevchenko, and it's really tough to do that. And the people that do are going to be just funneled to very similar lineups. So me, I'm looking more to, like, I would see a lineup, like, based on my metrics here, right? Maybe if you don't play the main event, either five-round fight, which is scary to do. I'm telling you, it is scary to do. So let's say you play Bo Nickel, right? And you want to kind of, maybe you're avoiding some of these underdogs. So maybe the lowest underdog, maybe you play Derek Brunson against leverage against, because Duplessis' ownership should be high because his ITD line is good for his price. So let's say you play Derek Brunson and hope to God that he doesn't wear out after 5 minutes and doesn't get into, he comes in for a takedown with his chin up and he doesn't get clocked. All right, so now you have 82-25. Right, you're trying to maybe play Araujo here. Nickel, Brunson, Araujo, you got 83-33. It's still tough to get to these 9K fighters. Right, when you're playing Bo Nickel. Right, 83-33. I mean, it's just like, who are you playing down here? We play Marquez. I mean, what could you get there? 8,500, right? You could. It's still very. Look, I'm trying to even get in the mid range, and it's hard to build lineups with Bo Nickel and get another 9K fighter, right? Even if we took like someone like Basharat or Radzabov, or someone like that, right? If we took like Farid Basharat, right? 79-33. I mean, I almost don't want to touch some of these underdogs. I'm going to take Penne against, well, Penny's my girl. I won 120,000 on her. So maybe we throw Jessica Penne in. And you still have 82.5. I mean, it's still really tough. Even if you put Araujo there and then 8,600 for Gamrot. I mean, I guess this is doable. Like, these are the types, I guess, like, these are the types of lineups that I'd be leaning towards. And hey, if you want to take out Bo Nickel and put in Shevchenko instead, if you want to play, you know, a Gon instead of Araujo, okay. You'll more likely to be a little bit more duplicated. But I'll be looking more towards these types of lineups. It's quite possible. I'm playing 9 lineups tomorrow. It's quite possible that none, see the thing, it's quite possible none of my lineups have Valentina in it. But it's possible that I may have some Cyril Gon only because of price. Like that's the, you know, like it's not, I'd rather just fade the main event. But I think at the price, like I could see myself getting to Cyril Gon. Maybe not John Jones. Maybe I play Rebus or Garbrandt or someone like that instead. But down in the, if I need a 7, like, do I want Araujo in all my lineups? Maybe not. Do I want Trevin Jones and his lack of volume? Maybe I'm more likely to play Jalen Turner or Derek Brunson. I mean, these underdogs are not very good. I mean, once you get down to the bottom, I mean, like, good luck, Jamie Pickett. Good luck, Song Kanaan. Jeff Neal is a name, but I think Rachmaninoff takes care of him fairly easily. Damon Blackshear has no cardio. Esteban Ribovic is a, you know, he's a newcomer. Right? I guess he's a power puncher, but if he's going to be owned, do I want to have a $7,200 guy? I mean, what's his odds? Plus 220. I mean, he has a decent inside the distance line, right? Plus 320. But it's going to come based on like a first round knockout or bust kind of fighter. Maybe I play him. I don't know. But it's hard to build lineups. I want to build lineups, if I can, with 2 9K fighters that people are less likely to play. That combination, right? Even without Nickel, right? You play a, you know, a lineup with like Basharat Radzibov, like that type of lineup. With no main event, right? You don't play Simon or Duplay. Maybe you play Brunson. Like this is the ultra leverage, right? You play Brunson there against a popular Duplessis, and maybe you play against Simon also. You play Manny Martinez, leverage against Simon. You still got 8,500 here, right? You could still play an Araujo and then 9,100. Maybe you don't play Araujo. You play Trevin Jones, play Julian Marquez, 9,000 left. Play Tabitha Ricci. No, I guess you could do that. Play MAB. 8,800. I mean, you could do something like this. Play Gamrot against Turner or something. Or you play Turner. Play Turner down here, and then you play... This is a Shevchenko lineup. Like I can see him playing a lineup like this with Shevchenko. 50K lineup. Shevchenko, Basharat, Radzibov, Brunson, Turner, Martinez. You could do some... I mean, these 3 9K lineups, it's just that... The underdogs, like 3 underdog winners on the slate? I'm not sure. I think the most likely outcome is 2 dogs win on this slate. Right. So if I'm going to play underdogs, maybe only play 2 of them. Having 3 9K fighters and 3 7K fighters, I'm not sure if that... I mean, yeah, it could work out, but I think it's a little less likely. IO22 says I like Loic at 9,000 at low ownership. No, yeah, I mean, Loic, Basharat, Rachmaninoff, I mean, like, I think everyone in between Gary and Ricci is going to be lower on. I think Rachmaninoff may be the highest owned out of that bunch. But yeah, I mean, I think that they both have high, I mean, these are wrestlers. These guys have 100 plus point ceiling. Daniel Hutchings says, if you have a lineup without Bo, you're mostly just betting that the optimal can't fit him in with the salary. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I kind of said the same thing with Shevchenko as well. Like, Bo Nickel is, I mean, it's, come on. His implied probability of winning inside the distance is 84% with the VIG attached to it. In the first, he's minus 195 first round odds. Okay? 66%, including the VIG. So it just comes down to, essentially, does Bo Nickel put up enough points that he fits in the optimal lineup? But with all these wrestlers underneath, with Shevchenko and Rachmanov and Basharat and Radzibov and Simon and Duplessis and Gamrot, and I mean, like, it just, it feels like Bo Nickel could put up 120 points, 120, and not make the optimal. Only because there are two people underneath him that put up 125 or put up 118 and just don't, and then are 600 cheaper, right? Bo Nickel puts up 120 at 9,600, but Radzibov puts up 118 at 9,000. And even though Bo Nickel is like the third highest scoring fighter on the slate, actually you can't fit him in. Doesn't matter. You couldn't even fit him in anyway. That's really what it comes down to. But for his odds, I mean, he's the highest ceiling and the highest floor on the slate. But I mean, you're paying for it. So you got any questions about the UFC slate? Please post them in the YouTube chat. I'll be updating this. We'll be updating our ownership and everything on Lineup HQ. Moneyball takes care of that. They'll have the expert survey up and the Ground and Pound podcast for premium members. What are your thoughts? I mean, I think this is a pretty good card. I actually think this is a pretty good card. Entertainment-wise, as well as from a DFS perspective. But if you have the balls, I think a lineup with no five round fights in it is going to be lower owned for its probability of being the nut lineup. I think if you have the balls, you would play a lineup with neither five round fight in it. Does that mean it wins? No, I just think that it would be a plus EV move. I think that if I were to build 150 lineups and I had the balls, I'd X out both main event, both five round fights, and then just build 50K, 49, 8 plus lineups of all of them like that. And then if, you know, John Jones comes out and decides to wrestle and looks good and ends up with 105 points for 8,400, then you just lose all your money, right? If Shevchenko goes and puts up 135 points, you're dead. I think compared to the ownership, I think there's more than better chance on this specific card with these specific fighters that we have fighters that could beat out Nickel and Shevchenko and Jones and Gon. But there's people. Gamrot could put up 130 points on his own at 8,600. He'll chain wrestle Jalen. I mean, he get 12 takedowns, 10 minutes of control time, and he wins in a decision. There you go. You're done. Because even at these price range, Duplessis can get a quick win bonus over Derek Brunson. Cameron Simon could completely destroy Manny Martinez. I mean, there's so many ways for people that are underneath Nickel and Shevchenko to score a lot more points than them. Other cards, I wouldn't say that. Other cards, I look at these fighters and go, what are these guys going to do? What's Jeff Molina going to do? I mean, like, nothing. But on this card, I think people are going to be attracted to playing one of Nickel or Shevchenko and then one of Simon or Duplessis, right? Play Jones or Gon in their lineup. Pick one of these underdogs and then you're like Ribovic or something and there you go. That's going to be duplicated. So that's my thoughts. My thoughts on the UFC card. UFC, whatever the number it is. Whatever number it is. 285? I think it's 285. I think so. I don't keep track of the numbers. But if you want more, obviously, sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. Combo Premium. Get everything, right? We got baseball coming back. Don't you want baseball? MLB? College basketball? XFL? I mean, look, we got everything. What have we got in here, right? NBA, NHL, soccer, NASCAR, LOL, college basketball, tennis, golf, Madden Sims. You want Madden Sims projections on DK? Come here. Combo Premium. Click on the link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. I'll be playing 9 lineups tomorrow in this UFC card. I'll be playing EPL soccer. We got projections for that as well tomorrow morning. So hopefully I have good luck tomorrow. Send in your questions. Send in your questions. If you have a topic, DFS strategy topic that you'd like to discuss, you have questions about, you could always email them in. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. They do shape the shows I do throughout the week. So send them in and I will cover it. I will answer anything that you'd like. That's what I do here. That's what I do here. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.